אתם עם SBS בעברית. And we're joined now by Shane Desiatnik from the Australian Jewish News. Hi, Shane.
Hi, Amit.
And we will start with your main headlines. And this week, the stories of two Israeli women who arrived to Australia to share their amazing survival stories. And that's at the UIA Women's Division events held in Sydney and Melbourne.
Yes, so Michal Rahav and Moran Stella Yanai traveled from Israel to share their harrowing survival stories at the UIA Women's Division events held in both Sydney and Melbourne last week, attended by thousands of people. And not knowing what to expect from the Australian Jewish community, Rahav said she was overwhelmed by the support. She said, "The love that we're getting ever since we arrived here in Australia is just phenomenal." She said, "I came here with a story, but I'm going to go back to Israel not just to tell my story, but to tell of the support here, because I think it's important that people in Israel understand it." Rahav was joined by her three children, Yuval, Noam, and Itamar, who held her after she recounted the events of October 7. A family of five, including Rahav's husband, survived the massacre despite Hamas terrorists entering their home on Kibbutz Nirim. And she told her an incredible survival story. And then it was Yanai's turn, and she was selling her jewelry at the Nova Festival in Israel when at 6:29 a.m. on October 7, she saw two missiles in the sky. And she said, "That's when this beautiful dream becomes a nightmare." She made several futile attempts to escape, but broke her leg and was eventually captured by terrorists. And the moment she was found was filmed, with the horrific video going viral. She said, "They used tons of violence against me, taking me into Gaza." She spent 54 days in Gaza and was moved 7 times from house to house. Her weapon was a deck of cards as she challenged the terrorists to games, and each time she won, she would ask for food, water, or medicine for herself and the 18-year-old Israeli woman she was being held with. Yanai was released as part of the hostage deal back on November 29, but she is mentally still in Gaza, she said. Her message to the emotional audiences, both in Sydney and Melbourne, was to remember their stories. "That's your mission," she said, "to never forget what happened and to never forget them."
And as you mentioned, it was a full house, almost 1,000 people.
Yeah, there was almost 1,000 in Sydney, and there was similar or even more numbers in Melbourne.
And to a different topic in politics, with Jewish MPs calling the government for some tougher laws against hateful extremism.
In Victoria, Caulfield MP David Southwick has called for tougher hate laws in Victoria, telling Victorian Parliament that the Allen government must give police adequate powers to crack down on hateful extremism. Addressing Premier Jacinda Allen in a March 6 adjournment debate, the Deputy Liberal leader joined calls from Jewish communal leaders for the 2001 Racial and Religious Tolerance Act to be strengthened. He noted stronger laws were promised after a 2021 parliamentary inquiry he sat on with Brighton MP James Newbury. Of course, he cited many media reports about and gave examples of many acts of anti-Semitism that have occurred in the last few months in Melbourne. And he said, he told the Jewish News, "As we've seen since October 7, anti-Semitic thugs have tried to attack, intimidate and bully the Jewish community, causing so many to feel unsafe." So we'll see if that exertion of pressure comes to anything.
Mm-hmm.
There's also been a crackdown. A Victorian local body watchdog group wants Darabin Council in Victoria sacked for its involvement in the Gaza conflict. Dean Hurlston, president of Council Watch, has appealed to the Jewish community for help to get councils to stop taking sides in global conflicts and geopolitical issues. He said inner Melbourne councils are being used as battering rams to tear down social order and cohesion. He said, "We felt that the Jewish community was being vilified and that some of the motions that councils like Marybeck and Darebin and potentially Yarra went further than just simply saying we support Palestinians and Israelis or the Jewish people, and said we will target and we will shame and vilify people. So Hurlston said Council Watch Group has 15,000 members across Victoria and acts as the people's voice in holding council to account. And they started a campaign for the local government minister, as I said, to sack the Darebin Council and possibly others for those reasons.
And from Victoria to other places, and Foreign Minister Penny Wong announced on Friday that the government will restore the $6 million in UNRWA funding that was suspended in late January. Following reports, staffers from the agency participated in the October 7th Hamas onslaught. Shane, what's the update?
Yes, so Hamas will rejoice. UN Watch Executive Director Hillel Neuer declared last Friday after, as you mentioned, Foreign Minister Penny Wong announced that the government will restore the $6 million in UNRWA funding that it suspended in late January. Following reports, staffers from the agency participated in the October 7 Hamas terror onslaught. So justifying the move before a UN investigation into UNRWA has been even completed, Senator Wong told reporters, the best available current advice from agencies and the Australian government lawyers is that UNRWA is not a terrorist organisation and that existing and additional safeguards sufficiently protect Australian taxpayer funding. Liberal Senator Dave Sharma said the decision to reinstate the funding before the independent review was even completed is, quote, reckless and irresponsible. But Labor member for McNamara, Josh Burns, said the foreign minister had set a number of new strict conditions to restore UNRWA funding to protect Australian taxpayer dollars from being accessed by a terrorist organisation. Mm. Executive Council of Australian Jewry President Daniel Agion said our community favours the provision of aid to civilians in Gaza who are in desperate need, but we are totally opposed to the use of UNRWA as an agency for delivering that aid. And he said to say that UNRWA as a whole is not a terrorist organisation sets a very low bar indeed for the kind of agencies with which Australia will partner. And there's, he had a lot more to say on that, as well as Alex Rifkin from Executive Council of Australian Jewry, and also Colin Rubenstein from Australia, Israel and Jewish Affairs Council.
Thanks for the update on this topic. And going to a different topic now, and Dr. Moshe Farchi, who, if you recall, was disinvited from a conference in the Gold Coast. And here comes the official apology.
Yes, yes. Dr. Farchi, the Israeli speaker disinvited from a mental health conference in Queensland recently, has received an apology. Professor Philip Morris, Executive Director of the Australia-New Zealand Mental Health Association, which sponsored the Frontline Mental Health Conference, apologised on a Zionist Federation of Australia webinar he asked to address together with Farchi earlier this week. Morris said, this was wrong, we made a big mistake, and it was not done for any malice, it was not done to disrespect him or the Jewish community in Australia or overseas. The apology has been welcomed by all major Jewish bodies in Australia, as well as Dr. Farchi himself, who had been scheduled to give a talk at the conference on the Gold Coast earlier this month before being told at the last minute he couldn't attend, as organisers had cited security concerns following pressure from pro-Palestine activists angry at an Israeli simply being present. So Farchi said he would prefer to put what happened aside and move forward, and he said, I look forward for more collaboration to come because we have so many important things to do in the future and we should not allow this group of people to disturb us.
And I believe this was the only case that an Israeli is invited to Australia and is actually disinvited from a conference, correct?
Yeah, I believe from Israel for simply being an Israeli. Yeah, but there has been some more recent things of Jewish Australians, like entertainers, singers, Deborah Conway, people like that being disinvited. She was disinvited just from appearing in a ABC program, just for being for speaking in favor of Israel. So, yeah.
And I'm actually going to speak to Deborah Conway later on this program, and we'll hear what she has to say. So, Shane, let's move on to some other news to finish off.
Yes, there's a bit of news from New South Wales. Some good news first. Promised $8.5 million New South Wales government grant to the Sydney Jewish Museum has officially come through. There was a special presentation just last week from Multicultural New South Wales Minister Stephen Camper. That funding will be used as part of a expansion project at the museum, expected to be completed in 2027, which will create a hub for Jewish culture in New South Wales, while also ensuring more people have access to important education programs that teach Holocaust history and promote tolerance. The museum's expansion will also see more exhibitions and programs that focus on both demystifying and celebrating Jewish life and culture.
Okay, sounds good.
So that's good news. Also, a nice good news is New South Wales Premier Chris Minns said this week, "I cannot think of a more fitting addition to the New South Wales Multicultural Honour Roll than Jeremy Jones." Jones, who of course sadly passed away aged 64 last September after a battle with cancer, he was inducted into the honour roll at the Premier's Harmony Dinner last Thursday for all he has done for the Jewish community, but also for multiculturalism in the state and Harmony, of course.
Very nice moment there for his family. Shane Dziatnik from the Australian Jewish News, thank you so much for your report. Speak to you next week.
Thanks very much. Have a good week.
רוצים לשמוע עוד סיפורים? האזינו דרך האפל פודקאסט, גוגל פודקאסט, ספוטיפיי, או בכל מקום אחר בו ניתן להאזין לפודקאסטים.